And tonight is a great joy to again welcome you in the name of Jesus to this service. And I again marvel with the kind of weather we have out there and the cold, how you have so very faithfully filled this building every evening. So testimony to your commitment to your congregation. And we appreciate it, since it's a joy to be a participant in something that is taking place in this way. You have a good testimony here. And the message this evening might seem quite different from the one last night, but it is really not different at all. But we're getting rapidly on into this week, and we have to find ways to make these things applicable to our lives. And we have to find a way to make the necessary connections. I think the very first night, I was standing back there in the foyer, and a brother walked back through there, and he looked at me and said, "I want the fire." And wanting it is certainly an important part of receiving it. So we're going to look at some things this evening. And remember that, and this is not the message, I didn't start the message yet. We're going to sing a song before we start the message. I'm just trying to prepare your hearts with some introductory words. Remember that though the true preaching of God's Word, though effective preaching of God's Word will at times and many times convict us as God's children and convict those who are not walking with the Lord. Though it convicts us, that is not all that it does. And if the Holy Spirit of God convicts us about anything in our lives, that same Spirit of God is using that exact same teaching to show us that what God is saying, what God is holding before us, though it convicts us and we do not see this in our lives and we see our lack in these areas, yet the very thing that the Holy Spirit of God is holding forth before us by the Word of Truth is a holy possibility for us, and God wants us to experience the very thing that we are hearing about. And so now we say one more thing. Every command in the Bible is a promise. If there's a command there in the Bible, wherever it is, fathers, provoke not your children. If there's a command, then there's a promise that it can be, just like God said. And anything the Holy Spirit asks of us, He gives us the opportunity and the equipment with which to do it. And so it's a promise. And we can look at that and say, as a father, I can live today without provoking my children. And everything that would convict us, and everything that would help us see where we have come short, is also a holy invitation to be a participant in the very thing where we were falling short. And what we need is a link that will move us from this convicting, repentant attitude where we realize that we've come short into the place where we can be experiencing and testifying to what God is doing in our hearts and making the changes in us that are necessary. And I need to hold that before you before we bring the message tonight. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to say a bit more about that. I'm not sure what's going to happen between now and when this service closes as far as what I'm going to say. I'm not sure as I stand here. But I wanted to make those introductory words. And I'd like you to turn that same songbook that Brother Chad had us use and turn to number 581. Brother Mary, do you sing this song here in your congregation? stand and sing it. Now, we can't sing this song in a hurry. The first three stanzas of this hymn are testimony, as if one of you is speaking to the rest of us. Or as if I were speaking to the rest of you. The first three stanzas are testimony, as if I was talking to the rest of you. The last stanza is different. The last stanza is a prayer. The last stanza is addressed to God, as if we were saying those words to God. But the first three stanzas, we're talking to each other. And I have already used this hymn every night in a series of meetings. I've sung this song every night. And it's a very impressionable testimony. Let's sing it. The time for toil is past and night has come. The last and saddest of the harvest eves, worn out with labor long and wearisome, drooping and faint, the reapers hasten home, each laden with his sheaves, each laden with his sheaves. Few light and worthless, yet their trifling weight through and lake, yet these are all my sheaves, yet these are all my sheaves. Oh, well I know I have more cares than wheat, brambles and flowers, dried stalks and withered leaves. Wherefore I blush and weep as at thy feet. Ah, kneel down reverently and repeat, Master, behold my Master, behold my sheaves. So do I gather hope and strength anew. For well I know thy patient love perceives not what I did, what I strove to do, and though the foe right near me sadly view, thou wilt accept my sheaves, thou wilt accept my sheaves.
Now there are people that object to this hymn. And they might feel that this hymn makes room for carelessness in the church. And feel that this hymn might give us an excuse and a license. To come short of what we should be doing. And I suppose if there's someone who can worship the high God and come away with that attitude, that I don't understand how that could happen. That's not the meaning of the hymn at all. But I told somebody this week that many times when Charles Spurgeon was finished preaching on a Sunday morning in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, where he had just preached one of his powerful messages to some 6,000 people, he would go behind the pulpit. There was a stairway there, went down the stairs, went down to the first floor on the outside of the tabernacle. He'd go down there, go across the road to the little house where he lived in across the other side of the road. His wife would be waiting in there in the living room at the couch. He would go in there, sit down beside her, then lay his head down in her lap and cry. Because he felt it was never good enough. It's not the attitude of a person who's trying to get away with less. It's the attitude of a person that in their best attempts, it didn't come up to what they wanted to do. Okay, now you may be seated too, if you got that straight. For the same reason, I can feel a bit reluctant to bring the message that I have in my mind here tonight. If you are spiritually prepared for this message, it will do you good. If you are a careless Christian and looking for loopholes in the Christian life and looking for ways to excuse the level on which you're living, this message, you could take it wrong. You could take this message wrong. Or take it wrongly. I trust that we'll be able to present it in such a spirit so that you will understand it correctly. And we probably should have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 nights to preach on this subject. And I've spoken this subject already in series of meetings every night of the week. And it would have been appropriate to do that here. But I guess we'll just open our Bibles here to Matthew chapter 6 and get started. And I don't hesitate to use Matthew for text because I think we've already established it that Matthew is a viable part of the New Testament canon. It certainly contains Pilgrim Church doctrine and is a fit subject material from which to preach God's Word to God's people. And I don't hesitate at all to use Matthew chapter 6 here. And verse 30 tonight, I'm going to read this verse. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And the title of the message is found there in those last 5 words of that verse. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. And faith is a hard thing to talk about because we cannot see it. You can't pound nails into it. You can't cut it with a tin snips. You can't see it or feel it. You cannot measure it. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. We can't write a standard in one of the pages of our church booklets and say that
this is the way you shall wear it, or this is what you shall do with it, or this you should not do with it, and this you will do with it, and this was not permitted, and this we expect of you. We can't do anything like that with faith in our church positions. We cannot require certain measures of it. We have no way to measure it. We can't get a yardstick and see how much it is, put you on the scales and weigh it. There is no way that I can tell how much faith you have. You don't know how much faith I have. The term here, little faith, probably is not intended to measure or express a certain amount of quantity. He sells those chicken hoops. Some are smaller than others. There are little ones, there are bigger ones. He made his biggest one today. That one is little in comparison with this one. We can't do that with faith. I mean, yet Jesus used this expression, and he used it many times. O ye of little faith. I've heard people, after they hear a message like we heard here last night, ask this question. They ask me back at the door. They say, I'm not sure if I have any faith at all. And when you say, what anyone says, I'm not sure if I have any faith at all, what they're saying is, I don't know if I'm saved. What they're saying is, I don't know if I have ever lived a Christian life. What they're saying is, I don't know if I know what it is to be a Christian. What they're saying is, I don't know if I have ever had a relationship with God. And when we say, I don't know if I have faith at all, that is what we are saying. So important is faith. The Christian life only comes by faith. And all those preparatory messages and all that the Bible says about that, the importance of it, and without faith it is impossible, and all those verses, have faith in God. It's a command, but remember, that command does not come from Jesus' lips to condemn us. It comes to invite us. If Jesus says, have faith in God, it's because we can have faith in God. If the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, then that means that it's possible to have faith and it's possible to please Him. That's what it means. For He had this testimony, finish the verse. For He had this testimony, where are you? That He pleased God. And so the fact that that verse is in there is the clearest evidence that there is that it's possible to do it. This is the way I want you to understand your Bible. If it's in there and looks convicting to you, it looks condemning to you, it's because we're on the wrong side of it. And we're looking at it without faith. We're looking at it the same way we look at it when we have to tie our shoes in the morning. It depends upon me getting the shoehorn out, sticking that shoe in that foot, then taking the thing and tying it up and making it right, then I did it. And we think that we do faith that way. We think that that's the way we have faith in God, and no one has faith in God that way. Faith is a gift from God. It comes this way. It doesn't come out of my ability. It doesn't come out of my practice. It doesn't come out of what I learned at Bethel Bible School. It doesn't come from so many years in the Christian day school. It doesn't come from having conformed a certain amount of patterns and practices and models. It comes from God. It's God's gift. It's from God to us. And it's not something that we received like a birth certificate. It's something we are now receiving. Even now receiving. It's not something that one day it happened. It's not something that one day we got this. One day someplace that you'll brush all of this happened to me. No! Faith is happening to me. We walk by, say it! We walk by faith. It's a present, current, up-to-date, even now taking place experience in our life. And all those things we heard last night about the Father and what He can do to those children, what can happen to the children or the mother. And I don't know how many mothers said to me today, It was not my husband, it was me. It was not my husband, it's me. Or it's I, if you want to speak correctly, Brother Stephen, your English class. It is I. And Mother said that today, and I don't know how many said it that I didn't hear say it. But whenever this comes up, we will find out right away if we're living by faith or not. And if we're living by faith, listen to it. If we're living by faith, the answer from our life, the testimony of our life, will be exactly what God's Word wants from us. If we're living by faith, the answer will be righteousness. If we're living by faith, what comes out will be a beautiful thing. It will be a testimony. It will be a lantern with light in it. It will be a tree with fruit on it. And everything we do by faith is holy. And everything we do by faith, we did because the Holy Spirit gave us the strength to do it. And everything we did by faith was God's work. And everything we did by faith was God in us, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. And everything we do by faith, we did because without me you could do nothing. And everything we did by faith, we did because we were abiding in Him. Right now, abiding. And that branch out there at the end of the vine is not there with scotch tape and string. It's not out there with scotch tape and string trying to tie grapes on the end of the branches and paste it on there and tape it on. Effortlessly. Seemingly effortlessly, something's coming out of those branches. Something's forming up here. Because it's a relationship. And when I fail, what I did in my failure, I did not do by faith. It was not a work of faith. It was not faith in God. And faith does not grow. We don't get faith by studying shipwrecks. Some people of faith have made a shipwreck. Studying shipwrecks doesn't increase the faith. Looking at the failures does not do it. And so there's this whole lot that I would like to say about faith that I don't have time to say tonight to get us ready for this message. But faith is very, very much like hydroelectric power. And this might be steam generated over here, or this might be a coal plant someplace. It might be nuclear. I don't know what you have here in Missouri, Costa Rica, it's hydroelectric. And it's mine, the moment that I'm connected with. And we disconnect it, that's the end of it. And we connect it, and it's immediately available. So that's the way faith is. It's just an illustration. And of course, we can choose to do without it. A person can be unsound in faith. But as he can have faith in a wrong doctrine or a wrong message. And our faith is in God. Our faith is in his eternal word. Our faith is in the Logos, the Word made flesh, the Word of truth, the Word of life. And so justification comes by faith, and life and power and purity come by faith. If we have an impure heart, the hearts must be purified by faith. And the Bible is filled with verses on this subject. Believe God. Faith comes. Faith is a miracle. And faith does not happen to big people. Faith happens to little people. Faith is not a gift for big people. Faith is only a gift for little people. Big people don't have faith. Big people have themselves and their strength and their experience and their capacity and their training and their money and their achievement. Big people don't need faith. Big people live fine without faith. But little people need faith. The little Natalia. The little Natalia. You look up the little Natalia, and every time you look at Natalia, she has to do the same thing. That poor little Natalia has to do the same thing every time you see her. You know what she does? Every time you see her. That's what she does. And today she walked up to me and she went like this. And then she went like this. And so I picked her up and held her. And her daddy didn't do that to me. It's as simple as that. And except you become converted and become as little children, ye shall no wise enter in. And we come to God like that. We come to God like this. And we come to God like this. And he said to me today, that him, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. I think I don't ever get past that. And I told him, don't ever get past it. That's your continual lifeline. That's your continual spiritual experience. And when you don't need that anymore, faith is done. When you don't need that anymore, you're finished. When you can do without that, you're lost. I can do it now. I learned to do it now. I preach enough of sermons. I know how to do it now. I've taught school for 10 years. I know how to do it now. I ran into this kind of problem before. These emotional difficulties, these struggles in the emotions of and the conditions that come, and I have so much experience in it. No, it's this way. It's Natalia. Always that way. And so I need to help us to see that one of the problems we have in obeying the Bible, one of the problems we have in having victory in the Christian lives, one of the problems we have with personal purity, one of the problems we have with relationships in the church, one of the problems we have with marriage, with marriage relationships there, daddy and mama, husband and wife, one of the problems we have with brothers getting along and the brothers meeting in the congregation, one of the problems we have, ministry related to each other, is we're too big. We're just too big. And when we get smaller, then we can be Natalia's. And that's the only thing she knows how to do. That's the only thing she does. Makes all kinds of mistakes while she does it. Makes all kinds of mistakes. And she has these great big people all the time looking down at her and saying no. And it's like this. And look here, girlie. No. Hey. And the poor little thing, probably quite confused, but there she is, waiting for more of it. I just wish you'd keep that picture in your mind. It'll do you good spiritually to keep that picture in your mind. You'll grow spiritually overnight if you keep that picture in your mind. So when we confess our utter helplessness and look our eyes to God, to His provision, to His grace, that's when faith comes. Someone comes and picks us up. And for Natalia, being picked up like that is a miracle. She'd never be able to do it. She can't figure out how you did that. She has no idea how you'd ever accomplish such a thing. But there she is, just content to be where she is. That's when faith is at its prime. That's when faith is extremely healthy. I read this verse again. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I want to speak about this verse a little bit. Jesus used this short phrase several times. I think I mentioned that. And so I ask you a couple of questions here. What was He condemning His disciples? He was speaking, He was up in the mountain, and the multitude came unto Him. His disciples came unto Him, and there was a multitude there, and He saw that multitude went up the mountain. Disciples come on, and then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying these words. So His disciples are hearing this. My question to you now tonight is, was He condemning His disciples when He said, O ye of little faith? Was He belittling them? Was He here rebuking their weakness and revealing their inability? Was he trying to point up to them just how far from the mark they had fallen? What do you think he was saying? Listen to what he is saying. Listen to what he is saying. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He is saying, you may have little faith, but your heavenly Father will clothe you. You may have little faith, but your heavenly Father will do it. This is what he will do for you, O ye of little faith. There is no shame in having little faith. A mustard seed is quite little also. Neither is it wrong to be a Natalia. It is not wrong to be a baby. Although very small, ever so small, Jesus saw that it was alive. Little Natalia is alive. Of course, it was interesting to me because I tried quite a while today to get her to come, and she wouldn't do it. She would smile, and she would then go like that. And she'd go like this. So I kept working at it. Poor little thing. She's scared of grizzly bears, you know. And I understand that. So it took some time. And after a while, she did it. She came walking over and looked up. And went like that. And now here she is. There's no shame in having little faith. And what we find here is encouragement. What we find in this text this evening is encouragement for our frail faith. Look at verse 26 of the same chapter. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Look at the words Jesus said to the same people to whom he said, O ye of little faith, you're much better than they. Your Father that does this for these birdies, look what he will do for you. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, O ye of little faith. It's a promise here. It's encouragement. Do not allow this message to condemn you, or the message last night, or Tuesday night, or Monday night. Jesus is giving us an invitation to do what Natalia does. And I guess we could use any little child's name there. I just used that one because we saw her today. She's of no more importance than the rest of the children here. But we have precious children, boys and girls, and youth and young people in this congregation. I'm especially impressed with the children in this congregation that are someplace between the ages of 6 and 12, 14. You just have a special group of children that age in this church. And you need to really be encouraged and really pour your hearts into those dear young people. That's the critical age of decision making. That's a critical age and so formative, and you can just do so much with children that age, and your church has so many, and please pour your hearts into those special little ones. It's really a joy here. It's really a joy here in this church. Now we have several points we want to make about this message, O ye little faith. Number one, even little faith is saving faith. Even little faith is saving faith, and we've already seen that. Faith in God has at least two aspects. Faith in God has faith in His Word. We believe what we hear. We believe what we read. We believe the preaching. We believe what we heard. It says, Fathers, provoke not your children, and we believe that. And we say, dear God, if that is the way you want me to live as a father, then, dear God, I stay before you until I can so live before my family that I do not provoke my children. And I bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if that's your will for me, then I believe that. And you can take your Bible and lay it on the chair, the bench, the bed, and kneel down before it and stay on those knees until it works it in here. Because you believe God's Word. And if it's not in your life, God wants it in your life. You know very well God wants a pure heart. If you don't have a pure heart, you stay there till you got a pure heart. You can run to every kind of program in the world looking for a pure heart. And you can buy any kind of a tape or go to any kind of a ministry and listen to any kind of a seminar. But you need a pure heart. And the pure heart comes by faith in the Word of God. Faith gives you a pure heart. I can't give you a pair of dark sunglasses and give you a pure heart. Can't cut your eyes out. Cut your hand off. That won't give you a pure heart. But faith gives a pure heart. And so the first aspect of faith is faith in what God's Word says. And the second aspect of faith is somewhat different, but very related. That is, the faith goes straight to God and believes that God provides and God is able and God is interested in me and God knows who I am. And God knows my weakness and God knows my need and God knows I can't and God knows my sheep. He seeth and knows my sheep. He knows what they are and He knows what they aren't. And He knows I wanted to and He knows I didn't and He knows I failed and He knows that I feel ashamed of how it turned out. And the rest of the people see it too. But yet faith believes that even in this weak condition, and even in this poor performance, and even this thing having come up short the way I did not want it to turn out, God says, it's okay, son. I will help you. Just bring that to me. We can do something about that. I think when I was teaching school there, I used to like to draw pictures for the children on the blackboard. We had colored chalks, and I'd take these colored chalks and draw birds on the blackboard with colored chalks. And then they would take their colored pencils that they had at their desk, and they would draw these birds on their paper. And then we made a book of birds, and we wrote stories about these birds, and we bound those books with hardcover binding. I wanted to teach them how to bind books. And it was a beautiful thing. We did that every year. Made a book every year. And this one year we did birds. One year we did trees. So we're doing these birds, and I'm drawing this bird up here on the board. I don't remember what the bird was at the time. It was a colorful bird, a beautiful bird, and I looked back across the class, about 30 students sitting there, and I saw one boy didn't look very, very happy, and he looked like he's about ready to cry, and he had his hand up. And his name was Robert. His name was Bobby. So I went back to Bobby. I said, "What's wrong, Bobby?" He said, "Mine doesn't look like a bird. Mine doesn't look like a bird." And he had pressed down too hard with his pencil on the paper and gouged it in. And then when he tried to erase it, he made a hole in the paper. And he was feeling bad about his paper, feeling bad about his bird. And so I said, "Bobby, pick up your pencil." And Bobby picked up his pencil. And I put my hand on top of Bobby's hand, around Bobby's hand. And I started to draw this bird. And Bobby was holding the pencil. And I was holding Bobby. And after a while, his tears stopped. He got a smile on his face. A birdie started to form on his paper. Birdie came on the paper. And I can believe that although my paper is all wrinkled up, it's got a hole down in it, I tried to erase it and made a mess. And my Heavenly Father comes and says, "Dale, I know when you were trying to draw a bird, it didn't turn out very well. If you want to let me help you, I'll help you draw a birdie." And my Heavenly Father has helped me draw birds just about every day. Put his hand around there and help draw a bird. And then help me color it. And God has provisions for us. And I believe that about my Heavenly Father. That's faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. We must run along here. Matthew 8, 23. I want these words. I want these thoughts. I want this message. I want these concepts to get into your hearts. I want you to be little children. I want you to look up to God. I want you to shed tears when your paper turns out bad and the birdie won't come up, won't form itself in that picture, and you got to hold out through your paper. I want you to feel a hand wrapping around your hand and perfecting that which you could never been able to do in your life. Verse 23 says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Of course, these men marveled at what they observed. Now, just what did these disciples, these 12 men, what did their little faith move them to do? It directed them to Jesus. They felt their great need of him. And yes, they were scared. And at times I am too. But they didn't start powwowing like the Dutch people do. And they didn't start calling on the saints like the Catholic people do. Nor did they depend upon their ability to bail this thing out like some of us would do. They went to Jesus. If they had little faith, that's what their little faith moved them to do. And their faith saved them. Their little faith saved them. They were saved because they had that little faith. And they experienced that great calm. And they marveled. And they worshipped. Now, I'm scared too sometimes. You ought to find out what it's like when that earthquake shakes and shakes and shakes. And there's no quitting. And it does it some 2,000 times. And you have 5 earthquakes in less than 2 weeks that are 4 in Richter scale or higher. And everything that you ever believed in and trusted in falls to pieces. And there goes your wife running out the door. And your daughter screaming, she's running too. And where is their faith? Jesus knows we're limited. He knows those things scare us. You'd be scared too if you'd be a storm like that on the Mediterranean Sea. Well, you have little faith, but your little faith took you to the right direction and you did the right thing with it. I just want you to see that tonight. Chapter 14, Matthew, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Little faith, but Peter obeyed. Little faith, but Peter left the ship and left 11 other men inside the ship when he left it. Little faith, but the rest stayed on board. And this was night. And it was a stormy one. And Peter walked on this water. Is that faith or not? Is that faith or not? Yes, a doubt came. And so did wind, and so did waves and tropical storms. And I know what it's like when those cows die one after another after another after another. And we buried cows over a period of 2 weeks until we had 12 of them buried. They kept dying and dying. And we had 7 people up on the field, up around the barn, trying to give injections and trying to give drenches and trying to irrigate. And I just couldn't stand anymore. And I went in the house and I knelt down in my study. And I said, God, if you want to kill all the cows in this herd, then kill every cow. I was just desperate. I didn't know what to do. And I don't think it was an audible voice, but this is what I heard. Dale, I don't kill cows. And when I heard that,
I was completely changed. I was just filled with a calm, with a peace. I went up to the hill, told all the workers to come down. It was night, it was late. Called them down to the porch of the house. I said, listen, you've worked hard. We've done all we can do. I want you all to just pull those needles and forget it for tonight. I want everyone to go home and get some sleep. God's going to take care of this thing. I don't know how. Let's just all go to bed. Then I asked one of the brethren there was visiting to lead us in prayer, and he prayed, and everybody went home. We buried every one of those cows that was sick that night. But God didn't kill the cows. And there are waves in your life. There are waves in my life. There are waves that are bigger than we are. But he found himself in the presence of Jesus. And he called out to Jesus and reached out his hand, Natalia. And Jesus took his hand and saved him, lifted him up. The secret is not how big the waves are, but in whose presence am I? And we find ourselves in the presence of our Father, in the presence of our Lord Jesus, in the presence of the Holy One, the presence of the Mighty One. We find ourselves in the presence of God. That's all we need then. I don't kill cows. If those words would have been uttered in a loud voice, they would not have been more impressionable than what I heard as I was on my knees in utter desperation. And where are you and I when the waves are high? Oh, ye of little faith. May your little faith just bring you right into His presence. May your little faith just find you there. May your little faith just allow yourself to fall down until He reaches out and takes you and lifts you up. That's little faith, isn't it? Praise God for little faith. Chapter 16, verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, they forgot about taking bread along, you know, in this passage. I have to save time here. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? It's because we did not bring our luncheon along, they thought. And so often I do the same. I feel that the success of the whole endeavor depends upon me, depends upon my bread, my effort, my dedication, my performance, my perfect execution of the duties. And I cannot keep up my end of it. And all I have is dried stalks and withered leaves. And these are all my sheaves. And I don't have anything to show for it. And Jesus says, remember. Remember. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? Didn't you remember? My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary. It's easy to forget His promises. It's easy to forget His past provision. It's easy to forget that His presence is even now with us. It's easy to forget that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's easy to forget, and though I am with you always, even to the end of the world. It's so easy to forget this. But our little faith can believe it. Our little faith can remember it. And when Natalia needs something, she knows where to go. She can walk. And so she walks there. That's as close as she can get. And then she lifts up her hands and wants Daddy and Mama to take it from there. We do that with God. And Jesus knows our need and He prays for us. I prayed for thee that thy faith failed not. And He's even tonight praying for us. And daddies were struggling last night, some mothers felt that they were being preached at. One man said, you just preached to me. Another man said the same thing. That would not have been possible. So one of the two of them is wrong. That is not what we were doing. Well, the only thing that happened last night is I wrote a story of my life and told you about it. That's the only thing that happened last night. But even though we have those mistakes in our lives, Jesus prays for us. Don't let that faith fail. And Peter's faith came very, very close to failing. It came as close to failure as you can get. It came as close to the brink of eternal destruction as it could get, but it didn't fail. And when it got to the lowest point, it looked like that faith was going to just simply be hanging on a spider's web and ready to tear loose. Jesus looked upon him. That's all it took. And he saw Jesus looking and changed the whole course of events, changed the whole course of history. And changed it for you and me tonight too, if we learn to do that. He reminds us again and again, have faith in God. He knows we are slow apart to believe. Yet there's something interesting that God does. When God goes out choosing, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm not taking time to turn to it because the clock is going. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us there whom God chooses. And the Bible says that God chooses the weak things of this world. If it's wrong to have little faith, if it's wrong to be weak, then that's kind of strange, because that's the very ones that God chooses. I one time walked into a killing plant in Costa Rica. And they were killing broilers there and cleaning these broilers and packing them up and putting them on ice and sending them out to the stores. And this was the job there in that killing plant. And I walked over to a young lady that was standing over here. She was standing at a stainless steel table and she was taking out these, dressing these chickens, and I will describe that. She was doing a very menial task, a very laborious task, a very mundane task, a very, just keep on repeating the same thing thousands of times in one day. And I'd already asked permission if I could disturb her and pull her off the line long enough to talk to her, pulled her over here. I said, Senia, I'd just like to ask you a question. I need someone to help us in the office. Would you be willing to accept the job down here in the publishing house working in our office? And Brother Dale, I don't know anything about it. I never did anything like that. I don't know if I could do it. Yeah, well, if you're interested, think about it and glad to talk to you about it some more. So Senia came to the office and she was so ignorant that she did not know how to take a column of numbers and add them up and find the total. And she did not know how to use an adding machine and push the buttons on an adding machine to make it multiply or add or divide. And forget the fact that using a typewriter, she certainly has no idea how to do that. But God chooses the weak ones, the ones that don't know, and the smallest ones. And that young lady became my secretary. She became so proficient with the computer, so proficient with the desktop publishing, so proficient at levantando texto, so proficient. Just was a great joy to work with someone that didn't know anything. And just teach me. I don't know how, but show me. I'm willing to learn, but I don't know anything. Oh, ye of little faith. What a joy to have little faith. And Jesus does not despise the day of small things. And Jesus does not despise little ones. And Jesus does not despise the weak. He chooses that. We should choose it too. And that ever so little faith that we have can become ever increasing faith. There's an increasing measure to faith. And we can grow in faith. The Bible tells us that many, many times. And we can draw near with a true heart, an honest heart. And we can draw near with a full assurance of faith. And we can believe that though we are where we are, and we've made the mistakes we've made, and this is all the fun that we've gotten, God has all we need. And He will aid our faith. And He will help us to grow in faith. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 5. And we can read the whole context here, but we'll just read verse 5. And this, the apostles said unto him, unto the Lord, increase our faith. They said that to Jesus, increase our faith. And they admitted to their little faith.
If it can be increased, that means it's not so big right now. And they desire to reach new attainments. You see, faith is a gift that all of God's children have, though they might have little faith. It's a gift that all of us have. Yet this gift of the Holy Ghost that God puts into our hearts is something that can grow. There is a spirit of faith. And we can abound in faith and increase in fruitfulness and faithfulness. It's just something we can do. I want to show you some texts on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll just show you several. There are quite a few in the New Testament. We'll just look one or two of them here to save some time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is verse 15. Not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And Paul had that faith. Paul believed that was going to be possible. Paul believed that would happen to the Corinthians, and they were a faulty group. But Paul believed that for them. When your faith is increased, there's going to be an increase in this ministry. There's going to be a close relationship and fellowship in this gospel that we're preaching. When your faith is increased. And they receive some faith, but that faith is now increasing. It reaches out beyond where we are now to others. And is willing to do tomorrow things it did not do yesterday. Faith stretches out to others. Paul's prayer was that the faith would increase of the Thessalonians. Spiritual growth. Follow me as I follow Christ. As I have loved you. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, faith increases and faith grows by believing. By truly desiring that noble life, that holy union with God with which Jesus lived. And trials come. And faith endures those trials. And lays hold by patience on the hand of God. And faith goes forth and Christ is glorified in His saints. And we are willing to endure. I work with people in Costa Rica that have everything against them in their Christian lives that you could possibly have against you. Here's a mother, her children, right in her own house, steal money out of her house that she was trying to keep together to be able to pay the electric bill or buy groceries at the end of the week. And her children find out where the money is and steal it. Her husband lives with other women until he runs out of food and comes home and sponges off of her. She's up walking up down the streets carrying bags of stuff, trying to sell a few things to her neighbors in the community in order to earn a living. Some of those people never pay her what they bought. Sometimes she hardly knows where the food's going to come from to eat. But you let the sisters announce a fellowship meal in our congregation. And she will always bring a bowl of beans or a bowl of salad or something to that meal. I don't know where she gets it. I don't know how she gets a hold of that. And year after year, faithfully going on and going on and going on. Oh, ye of little faith. Daisy de Vargas, oh, ye of little faith. Trials come. And this is the way we learn the sufficiency of Christ. This is how we learn to do this. This is what we learn from Natalia. This is where we learn our insufficiency. This is where we learn that it can't depend upon us. This is where we learn that we don't do it. This is where we learn that someone else must do that for us and do it within us and give it to us. And we receive it from them. We receive it from God. We can build ourselves up on our most holy faith, Jude 20 tells us. And you probably noticed this, but I'm quoting verses to you without giving you the references. This time I did. In Jude 20. In your most holy faith, build up in it. Grow in love. Be knit together. Allow no divisions. Reconcile yourselves if it happens. It's God's will. Since God says that's His will, we know it can happen. We don't leave it this way. We fix it. We don't leave it this way. Though something terrible happened and fellowship was disrupted and brethren were divided from each other, we don't allow it to stay that way because Christ said not. And though our faith is little, we believe what God said. It's His Word that said it. We believe it. If we exercise the measure of faith, that's
Romans 12:3 that we now have, and seeking opportunities to step out in other areas of faith, ever increasing our trust in God, ever increasing the investment that we make in His work, ever increasing our fellowship in the gospel, ever increasing the streams of grace. As we humble ourselves under His hand, that faith will grow. We will one day see glory and power of God working in our lives in areas where we have not seen it before. That little faith, ye little faith, will have a growing faith. And so we need to join Christ in the school of faith. Now I want to say something to you very practical. And I want you to pay attention to this. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe because of the setting that you were raised in and your many, many years of history and the climate and in the community and in the cultural structure in which you have been nurtured and raised and you're part of it, you take this for granted and think nothing about it. But other people looking in on you see something like this. They see something like this. Here we are, we do things that other Protestant groups and evangelical groups around us don't do. They don't find it in their Bibles, they don't do it. They don't greet with a holy kiss, they don't wash feet, they don't observe the all things, they don't see any non-resistance in their Bible. They pick up their guns, they pick up their M16s and go to war, they mow down the Iraqis and the Afghanistanians. They have no trouble doing that. They fly the flag. They take their neighbors to court. They sue at law. They use bankruptcy laws if things get into trouble financially. All kinds of things in their Bibles that they miss because they're Augustinians. Because they don't believe John 10:27. The way they should believe it. We got those things right. And we have the cat on the sisters, and we have the coat on the brethren. We have all this down pat. We don't miss church on Sunday because we wanted to go to the Derby. Because we wanted to go to the farm fair. Because we wanted to go to the agricultural exhibition, we're at church on Sunday. We got that down right. We know where to park the car in the parking lot and how to park it. We know how to bring the food in for the fellowship meal. We've learned to do all those things just so orderly. We would not think of having our children in public school. They're over here with these five beautiful teachers. Over there. We have so many things right. There are kinds of shoes we would never think of buying. There are kinds of eyeglasses we would never think of wearing. We have this all somehow or another over the years. We learned to figure all this out. Now I'm going to stop you and see if I have your attention. And everything I mentioned, you can do without it 1 ounce of faith. Everything I mentioned. Everything I said, you don't need any faith to do it. All you need is a certain amount of determination, a certain amount of conformity, a certain amount of the willpower, and it's done. But the things that make the superlative difference in the lives of our children, the lives of our youth, the things that are required to hold churches together when earthquakes come, is something that does not come from us. And our determination and our willpower and our decisions and our brothers' meetings and our acquaintances that we make, our brotherhood covenants and our church rules, there's no power in any of that to fix it. And it takes faith in the living God and faith in His Word. And what I'm trying to tell you is the reason why we struggle and stumble so often on these very important matters is because when it's up to me, I can do it. But when it's up to God, I don't have the connection.
When it's up to God, I don't know how to do that. And so the things that I can do, we as a church can do and can do well, it looks good, and the order and the structure and the beauty of the unity, it looks so good. It's such an impressionable thing. But there's so very, very much that you and I cannot do. This precious brother in this church tonight found himself praying before this service. Are you listening? And when the last brother said amen and the prayer time was finished, and we opened our eyes, that dear brother was crying. Now listen to these words. Why are you crying, O ye of little faith? Well, Brother Dale, it's because the things I just prayed about are way too big for me, and I'll never be able to do them. And if this is ever done in our church, if this is ever done in these precious lives, if this is ever done in these dear families, it's because I must stay here until God does it. And I'm not able to do it. But I'm trusting God because I know what God wants. I know what God wants for our church. I know what God wants for these children. I know what God wants for these families. I know what God wants for these precious daddies and mamas. I know what God's Word says. And He's going to do something, and He's going to work in our midst, and I'm going to hold on to Him by faith until we see Him do it, until these waves are calmed down, until this awful blot is healed. I'm going to trust God. And then, dear brother, bless your little faith. Remain faithful to God, and keep on believing. And though 1 year from now and 5 years from now, you still have not seen all the answers for which you've been praying, God will show you those little signs, those little indications that He's working in the very case that you're praying for, interceding for, working at, testifying to, going to visit, offering a helping hand, a word, a suggestion, a testimony, taking interest in these dear people. And God will show you, look, this is what I'm doing. Keep praying. This is what I'm doing. Don't stop now. Remember what Elijah did. Pray 7 times. Keep looking toward the sea until a cloud the size of a man's hand comes across that ocean. And a flood of water comes upon the land. Oh, ye little faith. Persevere. Oh, ye little faith. Keep looking up. Oh, ye little faith. Hold on. Oh, ye little faith. Get my word and believe it. Oh, ye little faith. Walk close to me. Oh, ye little faith. Don't depend upon yourself. Oh, ye little faith. Believe all that I've said for the church. Believe all that I've taught for my people. Believe all I said, the beautiful things I've said about the body of Christ. Believe what I've said about the oneness. Believe what I've said about the purity of the home. Believe what I've said about the purity of your heart. Receive it of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest into your souls. And what you see in me is for you. And what I've told you and asked of you and promised you is for you. And what you've seen in my life is my will for my church and my people. And what you've seen me do in the lives of so many others is what must happen in the Ozark Mennonite congregation. And so though you have little faith, keep believing. Because you cannot do it. This is my work. You cannot do it. But I need a channel only, blessed Master, through which I can do my holy will. And I need cables. And I need connections. And there's power here. All power is in heaven and earth. But this power is going to get to the Ozark. This power is going to reach the congregation. And stay on your knees and keep believing. And hold on. And reach up your hand. And trust me. And thank me. And praise and worship while you wait. And let the tears fall, but let the praises rise. Let the tears fall, but lift up your eyes. Let the tears fall, but keep holding my hand. Let the tears fall, but notice I'm holding on to you far stronger than you're holding on to me. Let the tears fall, but my will shall be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Let the tears fall, but because your faith is little, and yet still believing,
You shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh ye, a little faith. Let's stand for prayer.